Jerry's back.
Denny's
cases are back.
Nine is back.
Julie's back.
The old ones are back.
Dave is back.
Thanks so much, everyone, for being here. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do truly feel my weakness today. I feel like I stand before you in the weakness of man, but in the strength of God. And I really
am.
Yes, always. And that's one of the points I want to make today, is that I was just, you know, how you drive along in your car and you have thoughts. I was thinking, this has been maybe 3 weeks ago, Johnny was going to be preaching to us, and it was just, you know, the thought occurred to me, what if Johnny was struck with illness or, you know, something else, that for some reason he just couldn't stand before us, and so I would need to step up and be ready to preach. And I said, well, okay, I sure really should do that. I should always be prepared to back others up, you know, and to preach. And it's been on my heart so strongly ever since about the whole fact that we are supposed to be prepared. And when I really think about it, being prepared to give a sermon is an important thing. But I'm going to make a strong comparison in a way, because when you prepare to give a sermon, you usually, you know, the date and the time. You specifically know at that time you're gonna stand before the people and bring God's word, and so you know you have to have Him with you, and you prepare in that way. And it's like you said earlier, Nina, that it's a spiritual battle that we're in, and the preparation truly is spiritual. The preparation to give a sermon is one that's spiritual. But what I'm wanting to tell you is there's something else that is every bit important. You don't get to know all the dates and times. It's everyday life. We're asked at every moment to step up to the plate, to be His, to represent Him, but in everyday life. Life's not for sissies. It's just not. And the preparation is of the Lord. And so that's really what I'm going to be talking about today. I have a huge page of notes that I was prepared. I had originally had the misunderstanding I was going to preach last week, and I was just so prepared, but it's funny how I feel actually less prepared this week. One day I got a call, I believe it was from Caleb, and it was at work. And he, you know, he'd gone out to mow the lawn. And the mowers these days, the push mowers, they have a little wire bale at the top that you pull over and have to hold against the handle of the mower, and then you start it up. And but it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. And we talked a long time on the phone, and Caleb's kind of clever, so he actually even used his cell phone and took pictures of different parts of the mower and was sending them to me on my cell phone, trying to understand how to get the mower to work. And we finally figured out that the cable that was attached to that little lever that goes down to the engine that opens that safety stop, the cable had failed. It was just a mess. And so we ended up, well, first I, you know, kind of repaired it with wrapping duct tape around it, but then I ended up getting a new cable. But my point is, being ready. My point is about that when things fail, then they don't start. The mower wouldn't start. It's funny how cables has been my story the last few weeks. Susie, my daughter, came to visit for a week, and one evening we were out on a bicycle ride, and I kind of mentioned to her, I was wondering why she didn't downshift on the hills, and she goes, "No, I'm all right." And I said, "Well, go ahead and try to downshift." She had a cable that had become old and cracked, and it finally failed. And so when she would switch the shifter, it was the central core cable would just protrude right out through the outside casing, and it wouldn't shift. So I had to literally, you know, get new cables and replace them all and fix her bike up. And the whole point I'm trying to make is that being ready, in the time that's critical makes the difference between whether or not you're successful or whether it fails. And being ready is of the Lord. It's spiritual. Let me, I want to turn over to 1 Peter. In the third chapter. And I'm going to start reading with verse 12. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Cindy, you look puzzled.
I was trying to find where you were reading. I didn't.
I'm in the third chapter of 1 Peter, and I started reading with verse 12.
Oh.
Right now I'm down to 16. I just read 15. And I'll repeat 15 real quick. It says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas we speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And it's interesting, you know, that I think I'm trying to remember the exact title of the Sunday school lesson we've been doing, that it's be ready to give an answer. And it gives a lot of scriptures and talks about different things to help you defend your faith. I'm kind of talking about the other side of it. I'm talking about the spiritual side of being ready to give that answer. I know that there's been times for me that have helped teach me some things. I remember one time I was, Cindy and I were asked to go down and have lunch on a Sunday with Donnie and Bonnie Case. And at the time they were attending church at the Warrensburg local down in Warrensburg, Missouri. And so we thought, oh, well, let's go down to the Warrensburg local. And so we drove around and the directions seemed easy to find it, but we just couldn't find it. We searched around for a while, but we finally found the building, and we came in right at the end of Sunday school. And after the closing song and the closing of prayer of Sunday school, George Brantner came back and greeted me and said, you're going to preach to us today. So, you know, I just literally had so few minutes to rise and to speak. And I really think that's more actually of an accurate picture. That's a good parable of how we have to face life. You don't get to be prepared for the surprises that happen to you at work or at school, the things that just suddenly crop up, that unexpected phone call that suddenly you're presented with. And as a child of God, we need to be prepared to respond to. I want to couple that thought with some other things. I want to turn over to Matthew 22. Matthew, I'm going to start towards the end, actually. I'm going to go over to verse 36. So it's verse 36 of the 22nd chapter of Matthew. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I want to bring that to you because in this world of surprises, in this world where things come to you and you don't expect them so many times, where are we as far as preparation of these two greatest, weighty commandments of the Lord, to love Him with all. To love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And where are we with the second commandment? That is to love your neighbor as yourself. I was standing at the copier one day at work, and I was printing out quite a bit of things, so I just turned around and looked out across this I call it a field of cubicles. It's a big, huge, open area, and all these people are in their little cubicles going about their business. And one was standing at a file cabinet typing, and, you know, just people walking from cube to cube and just busy about their business. And I perceived so strongly these people as living souls. And I felt the weight of the responsibility. And I also felt the reality that I didn't hardly know them. At work, you keep your head down and you work and you... Even the people you work with, you may only know their voice because the only contact you ever have is by phone, and you just stay busy. How How well do we know our neighbors? Are we ready to give an answer? Are we ready to be salt and light to the people around us, whoever they might be? God has been such a gift to us, the Redeemer of our soul, and yet the practical world that we live in is it seems somewhat blind to Him. Those aren't the thoughts and the things that are on our heart as we go about our daily business so often, and yet it is the weightier matter. It is everything. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. And every man, every soul, will stand for a judgment. Everyone. So as I think about being ready to give an answer about for the hope that's within you, as I think about being able to do that, I remember one time I was in a conversation with we were down visiting with Bob and Joe Eddy, I believe it was, years ago. Of course, Joe's left us now, gone on to her maker. She made a comment about some of the harder help, I'll call it. We were talking about some people who were just needing fellowship, and they were needing people to reach out to them and help them through some of the struggles they had, and how this great commandment is such a weighty matter in that. Really being prepared to talk to people, if we aren't full of that charity, that great love of God, we tend to be unprepared to step forth and really help people, really give them the spiritual courage that they're standing in need of at the time, the spiritual direction. You know, one of the things that's really hard is when, like it talks about in the sixth chapter of Galatians, when you have a brother that's overtaken in a fault, it says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. It talks about being careful for your own soul. But the need is great to be full of love when you talk to these people, because it's like, unless that's true, unless you're prepared in that way, you just turn them away. You discourage them. You're not able to speak to them as a representative of God. You're more like a learned man who's standing forth and telling them what to do. And it's hard to take. In the priesthood meeting this last week, our brother Don Hitt was, he's done some extensive studying on what repentance is. And one of the things that really struck me is, I think I've always thought of repentance in relation to sin. And repentance is really about the ability to look with spiritual eyes at yourself, and with God's help, changing, improving your life, stepping away from your old ways, and going on a higher plane, living closer to God. It's about changing the way you think. Those old thought patterns that make it so that even though you feel like you've repented, you end up going back where you were before. You end up back in the same sins. And I think sometimes we just simply miss the opportunity to do that. And I would almost call it being born again. And we all do need it. Constantly making better our relationship with God. I've also, you know, in being prepared, one of the things that I think we understand and we know and we get told all the time is about, it's about studying. If you look in 2 Timothy, the chapter 2, verse 15, it talks about, you know, to study to show yourself approved. And I want to talk more about the so what. I think it's great to study. It's necessary to study. But I want to add this to it. When you study, look, listen, truly evaluate your life in a way that's repentant, in a way that's, as the sermon that was brought to us last week about humility. When you study the Word of God, let it have its perfect work in you. Look, listen, really pay attention. What are you doing in your life now? How are your priorities? What do you need to fix? Like those cables that had been, you know, the surface, the plastic surface of those cables had been, you know, had been cracked for years. I didn't think anything of it. They worked just fine. And then one day, you went to use it and it didn't work. Didn't work because it had gotten old and it hadn't been fixed. It hadn't been repaired. Hadn't been replaced. And that's what we need. And to be responsible soul owners, we need to look and to listen. Pay attention to what's going on in our life. Pay attention to what we learn when we study. Repair. Replace. Maintain. Make new. Strengthen. Protect. I think of the surprises that come to us from day to day, and I think, you know, sometimes, like with a, standing forth to offer a sermon, when you, the general kind of knows when he's going to say charge to a certain degree, and he's kind of got a plan, and his soldiers go forth into the battle. And though it started, and I've heard this referred to in prayers, but I do believe it's true. Though in the beginning, a war may be about principles and the safety of a country, the safety of your wives and your children. In the heat of battle, it literally comes down to you're fighting for your companion on your left and your companion on your right, and you're just fighting with all you've got, realizing a new dependence on God. I appreciated one time Jimmy Case had a some level of commander that talked to his troop when he was overseas in the military, and he said that he realized as he talked to them that they had varying understandings of who God is, and that they had varying beliefs. And he said, some of you pray, some of you don't. But he said, let me assure you, if you come under the heat of battle, you will pray. You will believe, or you will fail. excuse me. I'd like to turn over, I think, to Alma, the third chapter. Let's go to page 315. That's an easier way to look it up. I'm going to start with verse 27. And I'm not going to read a long time, just a couple verses here. I'm going to start with verse 27 on page 314. It's the chapter 3 of the book of Alma. And now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? And I want to tell you of the gift it is when you go to somebody that's in need to have God's image on your countenance. It's part of having that perfect love of God. And it's part of what opens the door to somebody who's broken and bruised, injured, fearful, angry, all the things that tend to happen to us when we drift away. We build a wall around ourselves when we get encompassed in sin, when we drift away. And it's that experiencing this mighty change in your heart is part of being prepared. When you need to really help somebody in their worst time of need, when they really feel alone spiritually, it's this different look on your face, this look of a perfect love that helps to break down those walls. Are you ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you? Are you ready to be salt and light? To somebody who feels like they've lost all their friends, they've drifted away. I guess you'd say today. I want to turn over to 2 Timothy. I want to read out of the third chapter. This is really going to support what I said earlier, that life is not for sissies. Actually, I think I'd like to remind you, too, that this was written by Paul. It was written by Paul when he was in prison. This prison is a hole in the ground. The only communication he had during this period of time was through an 18-inch square hole in the ceiling. these letters that I'm going to read out of actually passed through that that hole in the roof of his prison cell. I'm going to start reading with the first verse, and this is the third chapter of 2 Timothy. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." For as Jannes and Sambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. One of the things that, it's kind of a fun thing we've done in Bible school, in the camp this last summer, they also talked about the armor of God. I think they had a little competition where they all made similitudes of the armor of God. But what I would like to remind you of, and you find actually that reading in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, is that we're asked there to be strong in the Lord. And sometimes I think what we think of is being strong in ourselves. But it's talking about being strong in the Lord. And being strong in the Lord is, it comes down to truth and righteousness and the preparation of the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. It also talks about praying always, because it's all about the fact that we're not wrestling against people, really. It's against principalities and powers, evil in high places. And so it's the preparation for this is the preparation of the Spirit. It's being strong in His armor, which is these things, knowing the truth, being prepared, with the gospel of peace. About being full of faith. And truly having a goal in mind that you understand and you're able to offer others a message of salvation. And the Word of God is graven in your heart. It's not just the idea of memorizing it. It comes back to the fact that you have truly practiced in it. You considered the Word. You've tried to make repairs to your life based on it. And it's become your foundation. And your top priority. Everything else is secondary. It's like the sermon Johnny brought to us a couple weeks ago about what's most important. What's most important? How do we get the example he gave of was I think he used golf balls. I think I'd heard before, big rocks. When you fill the jar, put the big rocks in first. As Benny had mentioned last week, I've been watching the Olympics on some of the evenings this week, and I just want to say a couple words to parents. I want to say a couple words to friends, people that are offering the light of the gospel to others. There was a race that we ran in that we were actually favored to win. It was a relay race. And I remember back when I was in school, one of the things the coach always talked to us about on relay races is there's one mistake you can make that you lose the race. And it has to do with dropping the baton. And so when you think about being prepared as parents, it has to do with passing the baton. About truly bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Literally preparing that next generation, giving them what they need, passing the gospel on. And then if we don't, that's where the church really loses. All of us, as parents, all of us, as children, all of us, as true friends, friends that hold out the gospel to each other, friends that are there to help each other when times are really bad. Let's pass on that support. Let's pass the baton and don't drop it. I see that our time is growing short. There's so much more I can say. But let me just actually close by saying that care. Be full of desire. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Crave being close to God. Hang on to Him with all your might. Hang on to Him by clinging to that rod of iron, by studying in a way that improves your life. But one other thing I wanted to talk about is kind of coupled with the sermon you heard last week, and it's about humility. There's a tool, and it's not an easy one, and it's called chastisement. And the Lord uses that gift to our benefit. It's not that it feels easy to take chastisement, but take it. Let it have its perfect work in you. When He sees fit to show you you're going the wrong way and that you need to fix something, be humble. Accept it. Understand that He's your Heavenly Father and that He is so smart. He knows so much more. He sees so much more. and he's just trying to strengthen you and to help you. So let's pray for one another. Let's strengthen one another in this fellowship that we have here. And strengthen that fellowship by studying during the week, by praying, by drawing ever closer to God, so that when we get back together next week, we're all literally closer than we were this week. I'll pray for you, and I hope that you'll pray for me. And I do love you all very much. Thank you.
Our prayers are for you all, too. Shall we...